Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Today for a change, I'm joined by Jason Porter, a director from Brevin's Franks' London office. While Brevin's Franks' various local offices across Spain look after clients already living here, the company also advises people in the UK who are still planning their move. Part of Jason's role is meeting people who attend Spanish and European property and moving abroad shows in the UK, who are just starting their journey towards buying their holiday home or thinking about moving to Spain, often to enjoy their retirement years in the sun. Good to have you here, Jason.
Thanks for inviting me. Great to be here.
Well, since we have many listeners in the UK who are still planning their move, or who hope to be able to move one day, as well as listeners in Spain who have friends planning to move here, Jason and I will look today at what people need to know before they move. So firstly, what do you think is the most important thing in making this Spanish journey as smooth and successful as possible?
I think it's all about information, really, Howard. It's gathering information together so that you are as best informed as you possibly can be. So it's really just getting onto the internet, typing into search engines, all of the kind of things that you think you need to know, that the information you think you need to gather, just so you can put yourself in as good a position as possible, understanding what the situation is, what position you're going to be in when you move to Spain, so you can then put a plan in place. At that point, you know you've done everything you possibly can. You're ready, you're prepared, you've done everything you need to do before you go. Once you arrive in Spain, if you're moving there, then obviously you can put in plan whatever needs to be done on arrival. And on that basis, you're putting yourself and your family in the best possible position they can be for the new life.
Okay, so what would you say are the two most important issues which virtually everybody who's buying a property in Spain or thinking about moving here should know?
I think the first one, probably for those people that are buying a property in Spain, is to understand really that the Spanish legal system is completely different to that of the UK. So in Spain, their legal system is based upon civil law, whilst in the UK we have a common law system. And obviously over the hundreds of years that have passed since they introduced their legal systems, rules have built up over those years, which make something like the buying process of a property in the country completely different to that exists in the UK. So you have a slightly different process. So you need to understand, you know, when do you have to pay your deposit? When are you committed to paying the final balance on the property? It's understanding what are the rights of, say, a spouse over that property compared to children. And in Europe, under civil law, you have something called forced heirship, which kind of forces you to hand over a certain percentage of the property to children, depending upon how many children you've got. So it's being aware of that system and, you know, if you want to get round it, how do you make provision for the spouse? It's understanding the importance of wills and all that kind of thing. And what you can write into a will in Spain, is it different from that of the UK, which you would imagine it would be with a different legal system? So it's really understanding all of that. And probably the most important thing from that is really getting yourself an English-speaking lawyer. who understands Spanish law and understands UK law and how they interact, so that you can make sure that he can explain to you the buying process and everything can be dealt with correctly. And then probably from a moving to Spain perspective, it's really what's come out of Brexit, which is a whole new immigration system, a different order to what you have to, what you would have done previously in terms of forms and applying for visas and residency permits. And, you know, before we had freedom of movement where you could just move to Spain and stay as long as you wanted. And in some ways, you never really had to go through a visa or residency permit process if you didn't really want to, if you're quite happy to pay private medical fees, etc. Now, you can only go to Spain for 90 days in any 180-day period. If you want to stay beyond that, you've got to obtain a visa from a Spanish consulate in the UK. If you want to move to Spain, you need to obtain a visa in advance, and then once you're there, once you've moved, you need to convert that into a residency permit. And if you're a retiree moving to Spain, then you specifically need to make sure that you can satisfy various documentary requirements as well as meeting certain financial resources requirements. So that's going to be, do you have a sufficient level of income? Do you have a sufficient level of investments and assets to make sure that you're not a burden on the social care system in Spain? And then initially you're going to make sure, you need to make sure that you've got a certain level of private medical insurance in place. So that would be probably for a 12-month period and making sure it's up to the minimum requirements that they require. And then once you're there, you can actually establish whether you can access the state system on a subsidised basis. Then there's obviously the availability for those people perhaps with a bit more wealth that want a bit more freedom, different types of visas, like the Golden Visa, which is quite popular in Spain, deliberately introduced to encourage people from the Far East and Eastern European countries to perhaps access Spain and think about moving there. And it gives the ability for someone to obtain a visa very quickly, but still have considerable freedom in their movement between Spain and other European countries, including returning to their home country as well. So it's considering those things and being aware that you're moving into a different country, a different legal system with different rules.
Of course, the Brexit has complicated things enormously. Unfortunately, we have Blevins Franks. Now, Blevins Franks are experts in this cross-border tax and financial planning aspects of moving to Spain, but you haven't mentioned yet any tax issues. What are the commonest things that British expatriates are unaware of when they move to Spain?
I think most people, they go through the whole buying the property process and really think that's the extent of what they've got to understand and get their heads around. But what they also need to understand is they are moving into a different tax system. A lot of people think it will be relatively similar to that of the UK, but actually it's quite different. And all their income and assets are going to be treated in a different way. It's different legally, and therefore we're going to have a different tax angle. You're going to have to deal with that system. So that means in some ways you need to think about, before you go, do I need to think about rearranging my assets, selling things down, restructuring them? And when I get there, is there anything specifically that I need to do? So you have to understand the rules around when do you become tax resident in Spain. And that's a relatively simple rule of 183 days in a calendar year of presence in Spain. So effectively, if you're there for that number of days, then you are tax resident for that calendar year. That means potentially you're taxable on your worldwide income and gains in Spain. So it's being aware of that, being aware of those number of days. And obviously then once you're tax resident, you need to be registering with the tax authorities and thinking about what that means. In terms of other areas, well, specifically, if someone is retiring to Spain and they're looking at cashing in their pension, so perhaps taking the 25% lump sum that they're allowed to do under UK pension law, well, it's generally best to do that in the UK before you leave, because that will be tax-free. Whilst if you do that once you're a Spanish tax resident, then under Spanish law, Spanish tax law, that's likely to be taxed through their scale rates. Things like UK tax efficient investments, simple things like ISAs. Spain has different tax law, it has different tax efficiency law, and therefore things that are tax efficient in the UK are probably not going to be tax efficient in Spain, and ISAs are one of those. So whatever you have in your ISA, if it's an investment portfolio or if it's bank interest or something like that, so if it's a portfolio, it's going to be dividends and interest and perhaps some capital gains on the buying and selling of funds or shares in that portfolio. Well, effectively, once you're in Spain, those assets are going to be looked through and taxed as though you own them directly. So it's being aware of that and considering making changes perhaps before you leave the UK when it's still tax efficient to do so. And other things that some people may have, like venture capital trusts, VCTs, enterprise investment schemes, EISs, again, tax efficient in the UK, but not tax efficient in Spain. So it's worthwhile looking at those and thinking what is the best thing to do with them. Something like your UK home. A lot of people actually delay selling their UK home until they've actually moved to Spain. But on that basis, if you've become tax resident in Spain, then not only have you got to have to look at the sale of the main home, the old main home in the UK from a UK tax point of view, but you'll also need to consider it from a Spanish perspective. And as we said, Spanish tax law is different from that of the UK. So it's understanding really what your exposure might be there. And if you have rental properties, I come across a large number of people that I talk to that have built up rental portfolios over the years. It's understanding how they're going to be taxed once you're perhaps living in Spain from both a UK and a Spanish perspective.
Yeah, I think many people, when they first move here, they rent out their home in the UK. And you know, why they're moving into Spain. And considering this, I suppose when people do that, what's in store for them? What are the pitfalls?
Yeah, it's really understanding that when it comes to rental income and rental property, the rental property will generally be taxable in the country where it's located. So if it's in the UK, it remains taxable in the UK. And if you've moved to Spain, well, you're a Spanish tax resident, so it's also taxable in Spain as well. So you have a potential for double tax, but actually the UK Spanish double tax treaty deals with that situation and says whatever tax you pay in the UK, you can get credit for against your Spanish tax liability. Now, you can't generate a tax refund by perhaps more tax being paid in the UK or vice versa. You end up paying whichever country effectively has the highest tax rate overall. It's also the same when you're selling the property. If you sell the rental property at some point in the future, whatever liability arises in the UK from a capital gains tax point of view is available for credit against any Spanish capital gains tax liability as well. So it's being aware of those things. One thing I would say is that when it comes to rental income, rental properties, they're probably not the most tax efficient kind of assets to hold when you're living in one country and the property is located in another. Certainly from a UK point of view, the UK government over the last 10 years or so has made a lot of inroads into raising additional taxes on rental properties over the years. So moving to Spain as well will generate additional liabilities. So it's thinking of that again, do I need to rearrange that before I move to Spain? And are there other investments that I can use any of the proceeds from sale that are going to be more tax efficient for me whilst I'm living in Spain? So it's thinking about those kind of things and seeing if there's anything actually out there that's more tax efficient.
So is there anything completely new they'll need to be aware of and understand when they arrive in Spain?
Probably across the whole spectrum, there's a good number of things, but I think in our area of expertise, tax and financial planning, it's probably knowing that there are going to be taxes that you've never seen before. So, you know, one of those would probably be something that we describe generally as wealth taxes. And if anyone's read the papers in the UK over the last few months, then they would have seen that there have been various articles on wealth taxes in the UK, considering those as potentially an isolated tax as a means of perhaps covering social care costs in the UK, which obviously have risen substantially over the last 10, 20 years or so. Well, they've actually been in Spain for since 1977, and they did abolish them in 2008, but then because of the economic situation at the time, they were reintroduced in 2011. And wealth tax in Spain is levied on total net worldwide wealth of the individual, less any debts, things like mortgages, personal debts or other financial obligations. So it's the net of those two. Now currently, an individual has a €700,000 exemption, and a couple has double that amount, €1.4 million, exempt before they actually start paying any wealth taxes on an annual basis. And there's a further exemption for the main home in Spain, so that's €300,000 per person, so €600,000 for a couple. So when you add those all up, effectively, an individual will have €1 million of exemption, and a couple will have a €2 million exemption before any wealth tax liability would arise, and that's on worldwide assets. And as I said, it's worldwide assets, but actually in Spain, wealth tax is extended a little bit more than perhaps it might be in France or Portugal, where it's only payable on real estate valuation. In Spain, it's actually on most assets, although excluded is the value of businesses and, you know, things like family companies, that sort of thing. So most people, it's not going to be an issue for. But actually, if you're planning on buying, you know, a sizeable villa around Marbella or Soto Grande or something like Mallorca or Ibiza, then, you know, it may well be costing you a large chunk of change. So therefore, that with your other wealth you may have around the world could be pushing you into wealth tax territory. So it's being aware of that and knowing what you're going to have to pay on an annual basis. And for those that are, as I would describe them, uber wealthy, well then potentially it's a rate of up to 3.5% on anything over €10.7 million. Obviously that's a very few people indeed, but you know, it's quite a chunky tax overall on an annual basis. So then it's worthwhile, once you know about it and know how exposed you are, how do you reduce your wealth tax? And one way you can do that actually is to reduce your income that's taxable, because the combination of income tax and wealth tax cannot exceed 60% of taxable income. So there are certain investments and structures, all very compliant and conservative in Spain, that you can utilise as a means of reducing what would be assessable income, taxable income. You're still going to be in receipt of monies on an annual basis to live off, but you're actually reducing your taxable, assessable income in Spain, which in turn will reduce any wealth tax that would be payable as well. So there are ways and means that we can reduce those, but it's certainly being aware of what your exposure might be at the outset.
What should new arrivals do in the new few weeks and months of moving to Spain?
I think it's considering things before and after moving, because there are certain things that you need to do before you go and things that you need to do after you've gone and are then living and residing in Spain. So you need to advise, obviously, the UK tax authorities that you're leaving and what date you expect to be gone by, and the fact that subsequent to that you'll have to do a UK tax return from the start of the tax year prior to you going up to the date that you're departing, and declaring all of your income, etc., on that return, so that you can close off your UK tax liability. You're obviously, before you go, going to have to sort out, as I said earlier on, visas and residency permits. So that's supplying information, documentary information and application forms to the Spanish consulate in the UK, and making sure, as we said before, you satisfy all of the various different requirements from a financial and a private medical perspective. And then either once you've arrived in Spain, or if you're going to be buying a property, then you need to register for an NIE number, which is a Spanish tax identification number for foreigners. And as I said, if you're some way down the road in buying a property, you would have already obtained one of those, and that's done via a form EX15. You also need to open a bank account in Spain. Now, again, if you're buying a property, you've probably already been instructed and assisted in doing that by a Spanish lawyer, but you may well need to change the designation on that once you've arrived to being a resident rather than being a non-resident. You need to register as a resident on the padron at the town hall. There's the list kept by the local town hall of people who live in the area so that they can claim various local services from the national government and the monies required to cover those, and so that you can actually be in receipt of whatever services you are due to receive. You'll also need to register on the Central Register of Foreign Nationals. So it's making sure you've got all of those things in place, really, in preparation for your new life. And it's making sure, again, that you're registering with the Spanish tax authorities correctly as well. Spain does have some fairly nasty penalties and interest when it comes to tax. So if you're not registered by the required deadlines, you're not submitting your tax return by the required deadlines, or you're not paying any tax due in Spain by the required deadlines, then you're going to be exposing yourself to potentially interest and penalties there, which, as I said, can be quite nasty. So keeping yourself all above board, making sure you're declaring correctly by the required deadlines and paying the tax by the deadlines is very important as well. From a healthcare perspective, before you leave the UK, probably making sure you've got either a European health insurance card that's still valid, or the new style GHIC global health insurance card that you've applied for it and obtained it before you go, to make sure you've got everything present and correct from that perspective. And then once you've arrived is obviously establishing whether you can access healthcare in Spain, on what basis, be it through the state system. If not, what's the cost of private medical care, perhaps when compared to the convenio especial basis, which allows you to access the state system for a payment per month? How do they stack up alongside each other, the costs of each of those? And then if you're kind of approaching, or you already are, of state pension age, UK state pension age, it's really making sure that you apply for the Form S1 from the UK Department of Work and Pensions, which allow you to access the Spanish state health system, and where it will then be paid by the UK NHS, because effectively you've paid your national insurance contributions for the required number of years in the UK, means that the UK NHS will cover your state healthcare costs in Spain going forwards. And that's something that was put in place in the agreement between the UK and the EU when the UK left the EU. So all of those different things there, hopefully you can see there's a lot to consider, a lot of things to do. But as I said at the outset, it's information gathering at the outset, and then probably getting on the internet, doing all your searches, downloading all the free guides that you possibly can, which will then take you on to the next stage of putting in place all of your plans.
And I think the Brevin Franks website is a good point to start your research. I think there's lots of information there on about moving to Spain. Would you agree with that?
As I actually wrote the immigration guides that are on there, I would always say it's a very good website to go onto. But what you have on there, as I said, is the visa and residency permit guides, which will help you understand what you need to do before you leave the UK, so that you'll be able to move to Spain and live there legally. But also on there are our tax guides to Spain, be it our shortened guide, which you can very, very simply download. Or alternatively, you can ask us to send you one of our books on Spain, which is a much thicker, much deeper, give you a much deeper understanding of the Spanish tax and financial system.
Well, many thanks, Jason. It's been very interesting today, and I wish you well.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.